Hi, I'm Paul Grenier. This is Whiskey and Wood, bringing the people, the stories, and the success to you. This is a multi-billion dollar industry, and these guys and gals are out to get a piece of it. Why Whiskey and Wood? Why not? What are you drinking today?
We got some Crown Royal Vanilla. Oh. Very tasty.
Oh, vanilla. Nice. Yeah, yes. I'm a big Crown Royal guy. I think my daughter may have put crayons in a purple Crown Royal bag and snuck it to school with her one day. So I had to tell her that those were for home, for her crayons at home. But good choice. I am drinking a Metcalf's Vermont Maple Bourbon, something that's made pretty locally in small batches. It's really, really delicious. I like it over ice. We'll tag Metcalf's in this. So, but cheers. Welcome to Whiskey and Wood.
And there we go.
Mm-hmm.
So your question is?
My question is, take us from where the previous interview was at your house. What'd you say, 20 by 40 tin shed out of a storage container to this massive warehouse with tons of beautiful inventory? Like, what happened?
Well, yeah. So going back to the Matt Cremona video, we shot a nice video at my place, kind of showcasing what I was up to and kind of the status of how I got to where I was. And at the time, I was about 4 months in from quitting my job to basically catch up on life and catch up on getting my business stable. So for those that don't know, I worked in a steel mill and then I also worked in a foundry while I had started the wood business. And it got to a point where I was having more kids. I was having more sports activities to go to. I had this old house, like you mentioned, that needed a ton of fixing up and, you know, a bunch of small repairs and just all over the place. An old property that had a bunch of dead, crappy trees all over the place. So all these factors came into play and I looked at the numbers on what I should be doing as a business, because I do a lot of things. I have a lot of layers. I'm a portable sawmill. I cut and dry my own wood. I make my own custom projects from people that ask for it. And what was really a big struggle for me was being able to do the portable milling when I had a full-time job and doing all these custom things, because those take a lot of time to get right and get perfect. You know, you spend a lot of time doing epoxy filling and sanding and you know, making it just right to how the customer wants. So a lot of people don't realize that, you know, most of my time isn't actually cutting slabs, it's sanding wood. Yeah. So that's where I was wanting to take the business. I wanted to be able to get to that point where I had a decent inventory of slabs so that I could make awesome things for customers. And without having free time, you know, more free time to do that, I couldn't do it. And the only real solution was quit my job and then, like I said, take care of all those other things, the house, the property, and just try to get the business stabilized to where it should be on a very baseline basis. So that was my intent, and that worked out really well. Matt Cremona came over, did a video with me. I think you guys sponsored that.
Yeah.
And everything was kind of getting towards the right direction. And then at the end of October of 2021, my wife and I, we found out we're going to have more kids. So we're up to six kids now. We had four at the time. At the end of the month, we found out we were pregnant, and winter was coming. The only solution then was to move our family out of our old house into a temporary apartment and then kind of spend the winter fixing up the house and then getting that ready, because if we didn't do it then, it would never, we would never have time or have the ability to do so with six kids running around. So
I can't imagine six.
It was kind of just like, yeah, it was like, bam, bam, bam. Holy crap. Here we go. Big project. So I started just working on the homestead. One big project outside, inside. And eventually towards the end of the year, that year, I started to get complaints from neighboring property owners. So that's what started me having to move the business.
Gotcha. I was going to say, I knew you had some issues and had to move the business. So, so out of the blue, what was it, like a letter from the, your local, jurisdiction? How did it start the complaints? Was it a call? Did you talk to the neighbors or was it, how did those come in?
Yeah, there was constant communication with the neighbor, but that didn't matter. Let's just go back a little bit further. So since I first brought home the iDry, I think I went online a couple months after I got the iDry installed, started drying wood. And well, eventually I got shut down right after I got my iDry. I got a letter from a city saying to shut down my commercial and industrial sawmill business, which I thought was kind of funny because it's just me in a shed, you know? So I followed through and I got a permit for my business, and then everything was fine for 2 years. And then I started working on the property outside, and that's when everything was kind of blown out of proportion. And eventually got to the point where city officials basically said that I had got too big for my britches, and said that you can't operate here anymore. So they kind of made it difficult to even try to negotiate. And unfortunately I hadn't got big because I hadn't grown any infrastructure. I didn't do any improvement projects on the property. I didn't get a second kiln cause I had nowhere to put it. I can't hire employees. I never had employees. It's just me working. So there was this big perception that I was this big monstrosity sawmill of business, I guess. And in reality, I was just trying to survive.
I wonder, so you think some of the interviews that you've done in the past with Matt Cremona maybe embellished that or whatever, created that issue a little bit possibly, but it seems like it worked.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. You want to make yourself look big online. You want to make it seem like you got, you know, you're bigger than you are. And a lot of people,
yeah,
they struggle to even like market themselves, but that's one of the key things is that you make yourself look like, wow, this guy's really got his stuff figured out. But
yeah,
I didn't, I still don't. I'm still trying to work through getting everything the way it should be. I tell people I'm, as a one man show, I'm maybe operating at like 20 to 30% of my potential right now.
Yep. I mean, I guess so. It's a good problem to have, but you know, being a small business owner, there's always these challenges and uncertainty at times. I'm sure when they shut you down, you're probably scrambling and you're thinking, what am I going to do now? What's my next steps? You don't have anybody telling you what to do. Like everything is done already. You got to figure it out yourself. Right. So how did you go?
So fast forward to a year ago in June, we got shut down after a months long process of code enforcement investigations. And we had just had our twins. So 10 days prior to getting shut down, we had our twin babies. We moved back to our house, and now we have the directive that we cannot operate our business from our house anymore. So I kind of thought, well, okay, this is not good, obviously. And at the time I was thinking, well, maybe I should just sell everything. Maybe I should just get out of this. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
I think I contacted you back then in the summer, and I said, well, how much can we sell this kiln for?
I mean,
I was that close to just saying, we're done. There's no solution.
I've got these kids that rely on me, wife, and I need something instead, it's scary, right? It can be scary at times, I'm sure, especially bringing home a set of twins to add to your tribe already. And then your income source and your dream of building it to something that's, you know, where you think it should be is all of a sudden they tell you no more. Yeah, that's got to be scary. It's got to be terrifying. And even anything with business and being a small business owner, there's always ebbs and flows and kind of the uncertainty of, okay, it's good now, but you're always wondering, is it going to continue to be good? Is it going to continue to provide? I don't know if there's anybody who works for themselves and who lives or dies by what they kill, so to speak, as far as what they sell and what they do, who doesn't feel that pressure. And so it had to have been immense with the kids. Congrats on the kids, by the way. Did you get a boy? I know it was all girls. You were a girl dad before.
Six girls, Paul. All girls.
I got two girls, buddy. I love my girls. I love my girls. But yeah, six girls. Boy. Yeah, you've already heard it. I'm not going to tell you. You're in trouble. I've heard all the stories myself. We're outnumbered. I'm outnumbered, but you got an army against you. So that's funny. That's funny. So you get shut down. You're thinking of selling everything. You're like, that's it. I'm sure you're thinking, I had a steady job in your other field, which was the steel mill. I'm sure you're thinking you could go back to that and get something steady. But what made you keep trudging forward, I guess?
You know, going back to some of the videos that we've done and kind of the outreach that you and some other people have done for me for promoting my business, I've had a lot of people contact me and say, what you're doing is awesome.
Yeah.
I want to do that someday as well. And so in this little stretch in the summer last year, I kind of got a little bit more feedback from some random people across the world. I think one guy over in the Czech Republic, he was in the army and he saw my video somewhere and wrote me a nice long paragraph and basically said that he wanted to do kind of what I was doing and like many other people do in this sort of field. Yep. So I thought that was nice. So I started to go back and reflect on what was good versus what all the crappy things that had just happened to me in our business and our whole entire life, really. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm not going to let that stop me.
I guess that's the same attitude.
It was a little bit.
You buy a huge sawmill without cutting wood before, and that same fortitude of I'm going to just figure it out and get it done, which is awesome. And, you know, I've had so many people call me and say that I've watched Matt's video. It's amazing. It's what I want to do. And you have helped people quit their jobs and start working for themselves, and you have paved the way, so to speak, for a lot of guys to set up businesses. And you've been really, you're always open to chat with guys and to give advice and to help them out along the way. So you're a key person, as far as I'm concerned, in this industry that we're trying to build. So cheers to you on helping build this.
Cheers to that.
Here you go. So I guess, where were we? We were going to chat about, you're moving forward now. You're not letting it stop you.
Yep. Yeah. So there was probably like a week long period where I was kind of teetering on the fence of, do I sell everything and get out, or versus what do I do next? So I started looking at potential places to go, and there is almost nothing where we are at for a shop like this. It's almost impossible to find. Either they don't exist or they're already taken.
Yep.
And one day in August, I went for a drive, and I went right down St. Croix Trail, which is a road along the St. Croix River, which is kind of where I live. And I saw building space for rent, and I was like, no way, this is the perfect location. And jumped on it, got a hold of the owner. And in a matter of a couple of weeks, I signed a lease and started to prepare to move my business in. And September 3rd, which was a Saturday, I basically moved my entire operation. This big thing that was at my property, I moved in the morning on a Saturday, and I had one helper. So we hired a tow truck. We pulled the kiln out of the shipping container, picked up all the rest of the wood that I had on hand and moved into a warehouse. And that is not this warehouse. This is a new warehouse. So unfortunately, shortly after moving in, I started to get some ideas that the neighboring property owners that I was now next to in Lakeland, which is the city I was in, they didn't seem to like my business either.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Can you pinpoint a reason why these people don't like this? I don't know. It's strange to me. Like, who doesn't like beautiful pieces of wood and a guy making his way and feeding his family by saving trees that are potentially going to be burned or chipped or thrown over a bank? You know, it's just really strange to me.
Yeah, well, there was some history at the location, but I think what had happened at home also followed me to this new location, because you can go online and look at these documents and decisions that are being made in city council meeting minutes. And so I think some of that was found, and then it just snowballed into an even bigger dilemma. So
yeah,
this started to happen within a month of me being there. And I can tell you right now, I was there from September to December, basically. On December 15th, I got a cease operations order. And in the letter, it said that my business was a threat to public safety.
What? So it's got to be somebody that's got a hair across their ass or something, because a threat to public safety. Give me a break. So, all right. So now you're thinking plan C. All right.
Plan C. So here we are again. I'm like, okay. So we tried, my landlord and I, we tried every angle to try to keep the business there at that location. The mayor of the city of Lakeland said that there's absolutely no way that you can approve a business that has the name Sawmill in it.
Oh my God.
Really?
My God.
And this is coming from the St. Croix River Valley, where if anyone knows locally, this whole area was built by loggers and sawmills back in the 1800s. Like, there's a lot of history here, and they're going to say something like that. It's like, really?
What a time to be alive.
I realized that for whatever reason, I don't know, they're never going to tell you what they're truly thinking, but here we go. I got to find another place again. And here we go again. Do I have the energy to do this again? Should I just sell stuff and get out again? That was the thought, because again, there's very few spaces available. Well, we go through a bunch of city council meetings. I realized, okay, this isn't going to work at all. I'll take the sawmill out of the building. I won't even cut slabs here. I'll dry wood and I'll plane it and I'll sell it and I'll make stuff. Nope, that's not going to work either. So we tried every possible thing we did. And in January of this year, I luckily, like act of God, the wood gods were in my favor. I found this building where I'm currently in, which was being built from the ground up, a brand new building, and just got on their list and made a deal that in 3 months I could move into the space.
Same town? Is it the same town? Same
six miles away.
6 miles away.
6 miles away, different city. Yeah.
Different city. Good. What's the name of the city where that kept shutting you down? If you
It's all public information. It's no secret. Lakeland was
Lakeland.
The location I was at previously. Yeah. Yep.
Well,
so Lakeland is right along the St. Croix River.
Yep.
So I'm about 6 miles west now.
And you kind of described what I feel like it is or have felt being a business owner, a small business owner. Whenever you feel like you're done, it's at the end of it, something happens, right? Like you either get the big sale, you get a big order,
right.
you get commissioned for a piece of furniture, because in your mind that kind of, sometimes that doubt can always be there. In your case, you get shut down twice. You think you find a solution, and then all of a sudden you're in the same crap after taking care of everything and moving everything. So how long have you been here?
I moved everything third week of April. It took me, I think, 4 days. I moved everything by myself. I hired a tow truck again to get the kiln out. But otherwise, all the wood, all the other stuff was moved by me, myself, and I.
Pretty recent still. Well, everybody knock on a piece of wood next to you for Matt. This is his forever home right now, and he doesn't have to. It's a lot of heavy pieces of wood to move, and let's hope that this is it. This is the final resting place, and it seems like it is. It seems like different town now, and everything's good. And have you, your business now, are you building more furniture? Are you selling more slabs and drying less? Like what are you doing? Have you transitioned that part of your business?
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, when I quit my job at the foundry, my focus was to basically sell more of my hours, which was making things. And since making that decision, I kind of had to, in order to generate more revenue without getting more equipment. You know, I've wanted another eye drive for the longest time. You guys know that.
Yeah.
I've put two orders in. I've had to cancel them because I couldn't figure out how to do it.
You kept getting kicked out of places. So that throws a kink into things too. Right? So
Yeah. So that's what's really driving the business right now. And back when I moved into Lakeland in October of last year, 2022, I had my October, for some reason, is always like number one sales month for me. I don't know why, but I had the best month ever in that spot. And it was selling some pretty big furniture packages. One was a little over $20,000 for one person. So that now, and I asked for, you know, down payment on that stuff. So now I can't get out. Like I can't just give that money back. You know, I gotta keep going. And so that was a sign that, like, okay, this is still a good thing. Just keep working, Matt. So
$20,000 piece commission. That's not small change. That's a project, man. That's awesome.
So that prevented me from selling the business and getting out of it, basically. So that's okay, I can't do that, you know. That's really what's driving the business right now. And if I have good slabs, I'm not selling them to anybody else. Those are for commission only. My drying capacity is limited. It's always going to be that way until I have 10 kilns, you know? So it's, you really have to fine tune exactly what you're doing as you try to grow. I'm trying to grow. I haven't grown in 3 years. I haven't done anything to make myself a bigger business. I'm still just one guy. I'm still just, you know, me, but now I actually have the chance to grow, because I'm in a nice space. It's not a tin shed. I have more room. I can actually hire people now, versus at home, I couldn't have anybody help. So now it's just, again, I'm still trying to get the business stabilized again. So I've, in the last 2 years, it's been trying to stabilize, trying to get my process down, trying to be more efficient. So that's kind of where it's at right now. But I've started to build some really awesome things. I'll just turn over here. That's one of them. That's my biggest table to date. Nice walnut,
black walnut
mesh with epoxy. And that's actually going to a client's right on the St. Croix River, which is my target clientele. Brand new house. So that's really exciting to be able to. How to finally get to that point where you're getting that sort of job, those sort of jobs.
Yeah. How did these guys hear about you? I'm just curious to see, how are you getting these custom furniture pieces? Obviously, you know, we've done a video on you, Matt's done a video on you, but do you ever ask specifically, how did you hear about me? How did you find me? Just curious about that.
Yeah, if it's not coming through my website, or if it's not coming through like a Facebook ad or anything like that, I always ask people. But it's most of my leads come through Facebook ads, whether it be through my personal page or business page. And then for some reason through my website, it's more like sawmill services type of stuff that I get. Mm-hmm. So again, and on that side of things, I still have to fine tune how I'm advertising. And I haven't, to be truthful, I have barely advertised in the last 2 years because of all the chaos that's been going on. It's like, well, can I take on more work? Do I want to take on more work? What can I really do here?
I haven't even focused
on advertising.
Have you seen our new grow program that we're trying to put together for guys that don't have time to do Facebook advertising and Google ads and all that stuff? Have you seen any of that?
I think I saw something.
You're obviously doing a good job, but it is time consuming, right? Like, you got all this other stuff, and we have so many of our customers do get business through Facebook or through Google ads, and we have kind of bundled it into a package where it's just a monthly subscription. We can even create a website for guys. You put in some simple information. If you have pictures of beautiful furniture, we'll put it up and we'll do the Facebook ads and try to send solid quality leads to you. So that's something we're going to dig into in other episodes, but it's a great opportunity for guys who don't want to be in front of a computer and aren't as interested in the marketing aspect. You're finally like settled, and like after 2 years of this influx and you're in a spot and you're building furniture and you're getting these pieces, like, what is your end goal for the business? Is it a retail store? Is it retail locations, complete custom furniture? Like, what is it for you?
Yeah. So just in this spot, it's a matter of kind of being more like the custom furniture guy / premium lumber producer. So a matter of, again, trying to figure out how to get another kiln so I can dry more wood. Eventually this space is going to fill up really fast, and I'm going to run out of room. So then you have to start thinking, okay, how do I expand again? So you're kind of fighting that a little bit. So this space has a really nice place as a showroom, and I'll just spin the camera around.
Yeah, let's get a spin of a tour.
There's a nice window storefront here. And, you know, I've got 4,000 square feet to play with, but it's not really organized yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got the kiln on the left side. Logs come in. I'm cutting in here. I'd like to not cut in here, but that's all I got right now for a solution in terms of cutting wood. So, again, I'm actually super low on inventory, Paul.
That's crazy.
Super low.
That's crazy.
Super low. Like all the nice, you know, walnut slabs for tabletops, they sell fast, and you can't ever seem to keep up. So that's kind of the main focus, is trying to keep that sort of inventory going. But like I said, I love producing lumber. I love producing high quality lumber, specialty cuts. So I'd like to have some pallet racking in here with some dimensional lumber. And I've never cut a load of dimensional lumber and put it through the eye dryer. It's always been slabs.
Yep.
You know, and there's plenty of people looking for a nice walnut. So
yeah.
I've just got a ton of things in process and in the works. I've got at least 10,000 board feet of walnut logs coming my way, and I just got to figure out how to get them stacked and ready for the kiln, and then try to figure out how to get another kiln.
Well, let me tell you, we will be interviewing you again. I'm going to put it on my calendar, and 2 years from now, I'm going to see, and we're going to come back here, and there's going to be racking, and it's going to be crazy. Like, if this is what it's gone from since the last time we saw you, like working in a mud pit with and getting it done, to this now, and that's considered low inventory. That's amazing. It's amazing. So are you glad? Are you glad that you didn't hang it up and just go to the 9-to-5 and be happy to make a living, but not happy because you aren't doing what you love to do? Are you glad you stuck with it?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it comes down to, is I now that I'm in this, and now that I'm in, you know, I've been in this full time for 2 years, you know, I don't see myself doing anything else. And what really is an amazing thing is I have a lot of relationships with other wood people in the area, and my number one closest competitor, which when I was at home, was only 10 miles away from me. He said, never give up.
Yep.
That's my number one competitor in selling wood. And he said, never give up. So I'm listening to people around me. I'm listening to myself, and it's like, I can't let this go. This is a good thing.
Pretty awesome that your number one competitor is telling you, stick it out, Matt. You got this. And I've been in this industry for now 2 years. Doesn't seem like that long, but every day of my life, I've been talking to small businesses. Guys want to be small businesses. And, you know, it really is kind of like a family and a brotherhood in this urban wood market of guys really just trying to help each other out. And so many of my customers who are doing well are happy to talk to guys who aren't doing well, or give them that motivation to keep going and share things that's help them through the challenging times, which is going to happen with any business. So it's a great group of people to be involved with. I love it. That's why I love my job. I love wood. I love drying wood. I love furniture, but really it's the guys that are in this industry that make it awesome, and the potential of this industry. We've talked about it in other whiskey and wood episodes, but the urban wood market and trees that can be saved. Not everything has to be mulch. Not everything has to be firewood. Look at that table behind you. You're getting paid $20,000 commissions for wood that otherwise would have been possibly chipped up. Like, it's, how is that not inspiring to people? That's all trapped carbon. If we want to geek out on the energy impacts, right? It's all trapped carbon that would have gone into the atmosphere that now is going to be a piece of heirloom furniture that is nicer than anything you can buy from any retail store. It's amazing. I want a Matt Rubin table. I'm saving up though, because it's, you know, quality is not cheap, and it's a long way to ship here to Vermont. So yeah.
But I am, there is no middleman with me. Just remember that. I'm the source. I do it all.
You're talking to the guy.
You get a little bit better price.
Yeah. Your next kiln, maybe we'll work out a deal for an iDry conference table or something like that. Take a little bit off. But no, in all seriousness, you're talking to the guy. What other industry? You're talking to the guy who rolls the log onto the sawmill, cuts it open for the first time, dries it, flattens it, turn, like from start to finish, from literally forest to your living room. One guy does it all. Like, that's super rare these days.
And you know, there's a lot of pride that comes with doing it all yourself, and a lot of people think that you can't do it by yourself. Well, you certainly can. You just have to have, you know, the reason to want to do it, and the work effort. And
yeah, we know you
got the crazy part is we've got amazing resources around us to be able to do that, at least in our area. So we're very lucky here. But it's amazing that people will come down on you for being successful as one person.
It's a strange world out there where there's a lot of division, and I can't imagine being mad at a guy for doing what you're doing and making a living, and crazy. But I mean, the good news is it sounds like you've got 6 workers coming your way soon. So you gotta
kids don't work these days. What are you talking about?
Yeah, come on, they're your kids. They'll have some of your they'll help you out. I have no doubt about that. They'll be turning some wood into sawdust, getting the slabs flat for you. So how old your oldest? Just curious.
Almost 13. 13. So
Does she have any interest in what you're doing?
I don't think so. She's an artist. She likes to draw. So we've got some artistic side to her.
This is art. What you do is art.
Of course it is. Of course it is. We argued that in many different meetings. Yeah. I'm an artist.
You are an artist. Absolutely. Yeah. Anybody who takes slabs or wood and turns it into something is an artist. And that's great. So, well, you know, I appreciate you joining us again. I thank you for sharing your trials and tribulations, and we really all hope this is your final resting spot of Rubin Custom Sawmill and furniture. Are you changing? Are you adding furniture to the title, or is it just
It's Rubin Custom Sawmill and Woodworks? But I'm trying to figure out if taking the sawmill out of the name would be a good thing, because apparently that's a big problem.
Apparently a town that was built on sawmills doesn't like the word.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Yeah, bad word.
Yeah. One damn
saw. So I've started a new hashtag on Instagram called Bandsaw Chronicles.